إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت. لك الحمد يا رب على نعمة الإسلام ولك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان. اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد وأجود من سئل وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بإذنك ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر وتعصى فتغفر. الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد، والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية، والحلال ما أحللت، والحرام ما حرمت، والأرض أرضك والبلد بلدك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين، فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is worthy of being called the names of greatness except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is worthy of being called God except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is worthy of being called the creator of all except subhanahu wa ta'ala. The supplier for all except subhanahu wa ta'ala. The supporter of all except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The provider for all, the sustainer of all, the supporter of all, the All Almighty, the Most High. These names are to be given only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one in heavens and earth. We bear witness that there's nobody on heavens and earth deserves these attributes of greatness, these names of greatness, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah, peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the maker of this life. And as you know, and as you expect, it makes perfect sense that the product of anybody, the attributes of anybody, will reflect on his product. You look at the product, you can tell about the maker. You can tell a lot about the maker by looking at the product of this maker. When you look on a product which is a big fat lie, you can't say that the maker of this big fat lie is a good person. He has to be a wicked person. On the other hand, if you see a righteous, beautiful, guided method or idea or thought out there, this has to be the product of a righteous, good person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُصْلِحُ عَمَلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ, meaning that no one who is bad, corrupt guy can produce something righteous and good. If there is an Islamic victory, it has to be achieved by a righteous person. For Allah has committed himself, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُصْلِحُ عَمَلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. A filthy, corrupted, bad guy can never ever achieve a righteous victory, a victory for Islam. That is not going to happen. So by observing the product, you can tell about the maker. The maker is Allah. He wanted to describe His nature to us. He described it in a very simple way. That is, intelligent enough for the most intelligent, and simple enough for the most simple-minded. You try to contain His names with knowledge, you can't. You go so deep in your in the knowledge about the names of Allah, you go so deep in learning them and knowing them, they will always prevail over you in talent, in intellectual, in hidden secrets and hidden thoughts and hidden understandings that you can never contain all the knowledge about Himself and about His names in your mind. And the most important fact that you need to know about Allah is that the more you know about Him, the more you find out that you don't know anything about Him. If you reach to a conclusion that I've known a lot about Allah, then you don't know Allah. It is a sign of ignorance about Him. He described His name in a very simple, perfectly understandable Arabic language names. He described His nature using these names. By understanding the names, you understand His nature. So, subhanahu wa ta'ala, these names, simple enough for the simple people, sophisticated enough for the sophisticated people. You go higher in sophistication, they will always prevail over your sophistication with higher sophistication. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names are describing everything we need to know about Him that we can benefit from. And they describe His product. This product is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has, among the things that He blesses us with, is communications between heavens and earth. Every time the earth goes corrupt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a communication to between heavens and earth to lift up. So the communication will lift up the earthly life into heavenly manners. For Allah wants us to conduct our earthly business using heavenly manners. He doesn't want us to conduct heavenly business because we can't. We are humans living on earth, so we have to do earthly business. But He doesn't want us to do our earthly business using earthly manners. The manners, the earthly manners, are the manners of the shaitan. Selfishness, greed, arrogance, ego, jealousy, envy, hate, lower desires, love of power, love of show off, love of, you know, so many temptations that we can recognize inside our human existence that are so intrinsic with our human existence. These temptations are representing the manners of the shaitan. This is how the shaitan wants us to conduct business on earth. Allah manners are represented or can be understood or reflected by His names of beauty. He is generous, and He wants us to be generous with one another. He is merciful, and He wants us to have mercy on one another. He is forgiving, and He wants us to forgive one another. He wants us to take these names of beauty, which are His manners, and base our earthly business on His names of beauty. So, conduct the earthly business using the heavenly manners. These heavenly manners are the manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are reflected by His names of beauty. But His names of greatness are only for Him. Nobody can try to copy or match His names of greatness. For nobody can claim to Him or herself any of these names of greatness, because those are monotheism, is to believe that these names of greatness belong only to Allah, and nobody except Allah can be called or can be related to these names of greatness. But these names of greatness are Asma', we have Asma' al-Jalal, Asma' al-Jamal, the names of greatness and the names of beauty. But the names of beauty are His manners, that He wants us to take them and implement them on earth. Establish them as the way we do business on earth. Establish them as the way we think, as the way we view life, as the way we conduct business, as the way we make decisions, as the way we plan activities. All are based on his manners. The most generous, be generous. The most kind, be kind. Al-Wadud, the one who loves the one who are lower status than him, even though he doesn't need them and he doesn't benefit from them, but he's seeking their love. The one who seeks the love of those who are lower status than him, even though he has no need for them, even though he doesn't benefit anything from them, but he's seeking the love, al-wadud. And he wants us to be wadud, seek the love of the one who are lower status than us, not because we benefit from them, but for the sake of implementing his name al-wadud on earth. So Allah did not send this Quran and did not send the knowledge about his names to be written by cheap ink on cheap paper. No. He, Allah, wants us to take them and make them real life governing values and principles in the daily life. Take his name of beauties and establish them as basis for life and basis for doing our earthly business. That's our job on earth. As إِنِّي جَعَلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I am creating a representation on earth. Representation on earth means a person, humans who are going to take his manners, the way he does business, which is the heavenly manners, and implement them on earth. So when we look around us in the reality, and we look at the manners of Allah, we find a match. So the governing values, the higher values, the supreme values, the values based on which we make decisions and plan activities should be the manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way we should understand life, and this is the way we should view life as Muslims. Or as representatives of the khulafa fil ard, representation that Allah has created us for. Representation, we have good representation and bad representation. And the good representation is the way that we describe, is to represent the manners of Allah on earth. The bad representation is to represent the manners of the shaitan, the selfishness and greed and ego and envy on earth. These are the two representations that we have on earth. And these representations are both based on a certain understanding of life and certain view of life and certain perspective of life. You can see people who have different views of life, view life using different glasses. You can see the people who view life from the point of view that there is no maker. So they deny the name Al-Khaliq, the maker, and they deny the existence of Allah. And they start basing their life and their understanding of life and the day, the way we deal with, they deal with life based on this understanding. The methodology that they use to deal with life and to make decisions is based on there is no maker. We are a product of monkeys. We are a product of evolution. We came from germs evolving or whatever, coincidence or haphazard, whatever theories they come up with. But they come up and say there is no maker. And this is the way they understand life. And this is the way they deal with life. Which means there is no maker. Which means that there will be no supreme justice. Which means that whether you're good or bad, you end up in the same place, 6 foot underground, with no difference between the good guys and the bad guys. Which means that this life is unfair. Which means that has a lot of implications, has a lot of things that follow this understanding. And this understanding proves wrong by their way of thinking. So if we adopt their point of view and the way they understand life and view life, using their point of view, we can prove that this understanding is false. Very simple. Let's take one example. From their point of view, when somebody loses his wife and children in a car accident, And those are the most beloved things to him in life. And this person goes into very painful feelings. Very sadness. Very big, huge, deep sadness. That might drive him crazy and make him lose his mind. In order to help this person and prevent this person from going crazy, they take this person into grieving classes. They teach him how to grieve, how to manage the sadness, the feelings of sadness, how to manage them so that he doesn't destroy himself. In these grieving classes, the first lesson they teach to that person that you have to submit of the will of the higher power. That person says, why me? They answer, you have to submit to the will of higher power. Quotes and quotes, higher power. Who says higher power? They say higher power. Why? Because the name God is offensive name to them. They don't want to say God. So they turn around, play games, and call him higher power. They say, what higher power? The higher power, apparently, obviously, anybody who has common sense can find out that this, some higher powers are making decisions. And this higher power made a decision to let you lose your wife and children in a car accident or let them die. Whether you like it or not, the higher power decided, the higher power has a will, and the higher power executed his will. You like it, you don't like it, it doesn't matter. So you must, rule number one in the grieving classes, you must accept and submit to the will of the higher power. Well, what if I don't? If you don't, then to the nearest wall and bang your head against the wall. And keep banging for 10 days. Bang your head against the wall. Why me? Why did you take my wife and children? Why me? Why not somebody else? Why? 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 I'm a girl. What have I done wrong? Why? After 10 days of banging your head against the wall, day number 11, you have to submit to the will of the higher power. Why? Because it's not going to change. This banging your head on the wall is not going to change anything. They're not coming back. You want to make it 30 days? Bang your head for 30 days on the wall. Day 31, you have to submit to the will of the higher power. The smart person, the believer, submits to the will of the higher power from day number 1. And that relieves a lot of pain and stress. That's a believer. Doesn't need to go to grieving classes to teach him that you have to submit to the will of the higher power. The person who is ignorant and non-believer will submit to the will of the higher power after 30 days, 40 days, 10 days, but at the end, both will submit to the will of the higher power. So using their views of life, here we go, we have proved that there is higher power. Using their views of life, if we tell them that a boat has left India and have made a trip to New York, and this boat left India in the same exact appointed time. It was supposed to leave X time, it left X time. Arrived at New York in the same appointed time. It was supposed to arrive at Y o'clock, it arrived at Y o'clock. It followed the same exact pre-planned, pre-calculated path. And then we come to them using the point of view and say, okay, this boat has no driver. This boat has no captain, no crew. Then they will say, okay, it must be controlled by remote control. No, it's not controlled by remote control. The boat by itself, without any human control, left India, arrived at New York in the same exact times that was pre-calculated time, pre-calculated path. They will tell you, you are out of your mind. This can't happen. Then you tell them, then how can you believe that the moon is floating and swimming in this big, huge ocean, which is the space, in, you know, navigating itself in the same exact pre-calculated route, departing and arriving at the same exactly pre-calculated times? We look at the schedule of sunrise and sunset. The arrival of the sun, exact as it was pre-calculated. Departure, exact. Which one is easier to navigate? A small boat or the sun and the moon? If you're not accepting this fact for the sun and the moon, then how dare you accept this fact for huge planets like this. Using your point of view, they will come back and tell you, but it is Mother Nature. Huh? So now we are saying supreme power and Mother Nature. Why playing all these games to evade saying the word Allah and God? Okay, Mother Nature, higher power. Okay, we are now arriving slowly but surely, using your point of view, to the understanding that there has to be Allah. Then you tell this person, what would you call a judge in the court who make equal the good guys and the bad guys? He makes them equal the same. So good guys, they go 6 foot underground. Bad guys, they get buried 6 foot underground. And this is the end. Equal. Equally treated. Equally, at the end, both go 6 foot underground. What would you call this judge who treats bad guys and good guys the same way? You call him, is a bad judge? Yes. He's a corrupt judge? Yes. You can call him even a criminal judge. Why is a criminal judge? Because he's making our life miserable. Because of the way he is ruling in the court, making good guys and bad guys the same, we will have hell. Because bad guys are not going to be scared of anything, and they are going to go wild and make our life miserable. So that judge can't be not only a reasonable judge, not only a judge that we can depend on. No, he's a criminal judge. He's a bad judge. He's so bad and so unwise and so corrupt that he's going to cause a lot of damages. Then, if you agree on that, then how dare you call the higher power, or how dare you call the Mother Nature, how dare you call these, what you call these names, which are your inventions, إن هي إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان. These are names you made up. You and your parents. Allah never called himself higher power, and he didn't call himself Mother Nature. He has 99 names, we know them. But let's stick with your names. How dare you call the one who made heavens and earth the way you see? Examine heavens and earth. Examine the perfect balance and the power and the greatness of making heavens and earth. Examine them. What do you see? Wow. A lot of wonders. A lot of hidden secrets. What we know is nothing compared to what we don't know. Big balance, gravity, centrifugal force, stars, temperature, balance, supply, demand. A lot of beautiful, well-designed laws of nature. Well-designed, well-enforced, well-established laws of nature. Everywhere, we are so wild about it, we are discovering it day and night and developing PhDs in a little bit of it, just a small piece of the laws of nature. You look at the human body, oh my God, we don't understand how our body works. We eat food, it is being digested and absorbed somehow, is being filtered somehow. I mean, we have no idea. Not only that we are not controlling our body, but we don't even know how it works. The brain itself cannot understand how it works. So the human brain doesn't understand how the human brain works. And they say, if the human brain is so simple to be understood by a human brain, then this simple human brain cannot understand how the human brain works. You know, it's a philosophical say that says that if your brain is so easy that you can understand it, then you won't be able to understand it because it's so easy. So this existence, the most important muscle in our body is the heart muscle. We don't control the heart muscle. We're not controlling it. It's controlled by somebody else. Putting all these in perspective and wondering about the greatness of the Maker or Mother Nature, as you call it. How dare you call this very powerful Maker? How dare you call him, make him equal to unfair criminal judge who treats good guys and bad guys the same? Didn't Allah say in Surah Noon, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ? Are we going to make equal bad guys and good guys? How could you arrive to such a judgment? How could you arrive to such an understanding? How could you? You are describing me to be worse than the worst judge you can ever imagine. Making equal good guys and bad guys the same. 6 foot underground and that's the end. No resurrection, no judgment, no prizes, no punishments, no stick, no carrots. That's it. How could you? Using this methodology, we can prove them wrong. So what is the methodology that we need to have in order to, the views that on the understanding of life that we need to have in order to develop a methodology of dealing with life which is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to understand that, let's rewind a little bit into our Islamic history and look at a man who grew up in a filthy, corrupted culture in the Arabian Peninsula in Mecca. He was born among people who would draw images and build the statues and give them the names of greatness that was supposed to only be given to Allah. So they asked them the way they ask Allah. They beg them for protection and provisions the way they beg Allah for protection and provisions. They believe that those pictures and these pieces of stones own part of the powers that Allah has. That's how ignorant they were. The animals didn't bury their baby daughters alive. No dog has done it. Those guys did it, buried their baby daughters alive. Those guys, he was born among them. He rejected their understanding of life and their understanding of Allah. It didn't make any sense. He has a mindful, pure heart. He looked around. He found that the other understanding of Allah, the other understandings of Allah available around are not any good as well. Other people, they claim that Allah, His Majesty, His Almighty will come down to earth in a form of a man, eat food, and go to the bathroom. Not only that, but also His Majesty will allow a bunch of criminal thugs, really bad, 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 awful guys, real bad criminal thugs, He's going to allow them to arrest him and beat him up in such a bad way and hurt him really bad and injure him and humiliate him in such a miserable way and kill him at the end. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's way above and beyond any of those ill and sick descriptions. Subhanallah, He's way above and beyond that. Of course, this doesn't make sense to anybody. He rejected that. Then he went to the people who claimed to be the most knowledgeable ones because they have scriptures. And, you know, their teachings was right and wrong. Right in quantity. How many Allahs? They say the quantity is one. The quantity is right. But the qualities that they assign to Allah, Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat, the qualities they assign to Allah are not the best qualities. So in their eyes, Allah makes mistakes the way we make mistakes. He benefits and learns from His mistakes the way we benefit and learn from our mistakes. He changes His mind the way we change our mind. He finds out about the future the way we find out about the future. He is number one, He is one in quantity, but He is not number one in quality. He regrets what He did. And that's how they describe Him. So one, quantity is right, but qualities are so bad, and He didn't accept them. Then, what other sources of guidance are available? Nothing. So he decided to go into a self-searching journey to find out about Allah the Maker. So what did he do? He came up with a very brilliant idea. The idea was, number one, that as long as I live in a contaminated culture, polluted culture, the culture will have pressure on my eyes to see things in a certain way, pressure on my ears to hear things in a certain way, and pressures on my tongue to say things in a certain way. That is for sure. So what do I need to do? I need to go away from this culture and free my mind from thinking the way they think, free my tongue from talking the way they talk, free my eyes from seeing things the way they see things. So go away in a secluded place to free my mind and think freely away from this corrupted culture. And the second thing, the second idea thought that came to him is, how can I find out the work of the maker? By examining the products of the maker. If I go into this nature and think and examine and develop thoughts about the products of the maker, I will find out a little bit about the maker himself. And he used to cry, Ya Allah, who are you? What do you want from us? What should we expect from you? What are you expecting from us? What's the purpose of this life? Where are we going after death? Who gets the carrots? Who gets the stick? Who gets punished? Who gets prizes? Is there any life after death? Is that it? Is death at the end? Ya Allah, Ya Allah, tell me about you. His condition was described in Surah Al-Duha, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. He found you, so the level of love is that you have to me was to Allah, that he has to Allah was the level of Al-Dalal, which means that so much love with so little knowledge. When you have so much love and very little knowledge, this is a very dangerous situation, because that means you're going astray. So he found you in this condition, tahada. So he provided you with the knowledge that will make your love the right love. You will regulate your love with full understanding of the nature of your maker that you need. So he kept thinking, and one day, in the middle of the night, in the evening time, a shiny man walked into his cave, the cave of Hira. And this man is a stranger. He doesn't know him. And his clothes is clean. In the past, when people travel, they have dirty clothes and dusty body. And this man walks straight to him and he hugs him. He gives him a very strong, tight hug. Very, very strong hug. The Prophet described this hug as so painful that he was about to die. حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ الْمَوْتِ I thought I'm going to die. And then released him. And he told him, Muhammad, read. Wow, what an introduction to be. See, here is what is happening. A communication between a heavenly being, which is Angel Jibreel, and an earthly being, which is Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The communication that Allah promises every time life on earth falls into the darkness of corruption, to lift up the life on earth from the darkness of corruption to the heavenly manners. This communication is happening in this very emotional, mysterious way. First of all, it's happening in a very basic cave. It's not in a very fancy place. It's not in a palace or a fancy hall. It's in a very basic, basic cave. Second, very painful, very, very painful. But the Prophet thought his bones are going to crush. Third, in a very mysterious way, he's asking him to read, knowingly that he doesn't know how to read or to write, and besides the point that he doesn't have any material to give to him to read, squeezed him, read. I don't know how to read. He didn't like the answer. So he squeezed him again, tightly, about to crush his bone, and released him. Read. Apparently the first answer wasn't good enough. The second answer is not good enough either. I don't know how to read. Again, grabbed him, squeezed him very tightly, very painfully, released him. Read. Okay, now the first two answers were not acceptable. He didn't like them. If I give the same answer the third time, I will get the same painful hug that I don't want to get. Then the third answer was, read what? So he told him, yeah, now this is the right answer. Read in the names of your Lord. And he gave him one name, which is the most essential name. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read means, اقرأ means read. It does not mean utlu, recite. Recite is utlu ما أحيى إليك من ربك. Recite what was revealed to you from your Lord is something else. Read. A perfectly understandable Arabic language that says read. What could it mean? Could it mean that read and understand life using the names of your Lord? Put the names of your Lord as glasses, and put these glasses in your eye, and use them to explain and understand life. And the first name you need to use to explain life is the Maker. That this life is nothing but a direct product of His name, the Maker. The only reason we exist and this whole universe exists is because the nature of Allah, the Maker, the Creator. Here is your first name to understand life and to explain life is the Maker. Now, we understand now what Iqra could mean. But how about what is the implication of being in a very poor basic cave? This very important communications between heavens and earth. This is the second puzzle we need to understand. The third puzzle we need to understand is why is the hug? The hug signifies what? What's the meaning of this hug? And the third thing we need to understand is why it is so much pain that the Prophet was about to die and his bones were about to crush. Why? This is a very important incident. It is the beginning of the communication and the last cycle of communication between heavens and earth. To lift up earth from the bottom of corruption into the manners of Allah. Where life is controlled by the manners of Allah rather than the manners of shaitan. Very important communication. Why is it happening in that way? Could we understand anything? Inshallah, we share this in future khutbah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين. اعلي بفضلك يا ربي كلمتي الحق والدين. انصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم تقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء واشف مرضاهم وفك أسراهم واحفظ أحياءهم بحفظك الجميل يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا، ثم ثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا، فقال جل من قائل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، وأقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قال اهبطا منها جميعا بعضكم لبعض عدو فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى وكذلك نجزي من أسرف ولم يؤمن بآيات ربه ولعذاب الآخرة أشد وأبقى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. حتى إذا فتحت يأجوج ومأجوج وهم من كل حدب ينسلون واقترب الوعد الحق فإذا هي شاخصة أبصار الذين كفروا يا ويلنا قد كنا في غفلة من هذا بل كنا ظالمين إنكم وما تعبدون من دون الله حصب جهنم أنتم لها واردون لو كان هؤلاء آلهة ما وردوها وكل فيها خالدون لهم فيها زفير وهم فيها لا يسمعون إن الذين سبقت لهم من الحسنى أولئك عنها مبعدون لا يسمعون حسيسها وهم فيما اشتهت أنفسهم خالدون لا يحزنهم الفزع الأكبر وتتلقاهم الملائكة هذا يومكم الذي كنتم توعدون يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل للكتب كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Thank you.